strength, and that is to say, be strong. Our Father's word, how do we deal with those terms in connection with love? And I think it's very important. Strength and power. I wonder, we're going to open by going to the 12th chapter of the great book of Mark. You'll remember where we're picking up, because it's where certain of the Sadducees who did not believe in life after death, but thought simply you lived and died and that's it. Okay? So they questioned him about if a man were to have been married, had seven brothers, and consequently, as the law was, that if there was no seed left, the next brother took her, next brother, next brother, next brother, all seven of them, no seed, all seven of them died, and then she died, who would she be with in heaven? That's not the subject, but I wanted to fill you in so you would be up to speed to Christ's answer in the 24th verse to those Sadducees. Primarily, they just didn't believe in life after death. And this is Christ's answer to them. Verse 24. And Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err? Because? Because ye know not the Scriptures, nor the power of God. What is God's power? It's dunamis. It's where our word dynamite comes from. It's an explosive divine power when he chooses to use it. Alright? There are other forms, and we'll cover some of them as we go through this lecture. You've got to know the power of your Father. That, in a sense, is the basis of Christianity, is being able to attain or to connect into family-wise that power and use it, or the world will flat run over you. So number one, be not ignorant of the Scriptures. That's very important. Verse 25. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. Why? Because that's what they are. When you're in your spiritual body, don't get on a flyaway trip on me here, because there's good angels and bad angels, and I'm not judging you, okay? But what it means is simply they're in spiritual bodies. That's it for judgment. Okay? Verse 26. And as touching the dead, that they rise. In other words, the question is, far as the dead are concerned and their resurrection, have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spoke unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now, he's not the God of the dead, as we're about to find out. That means though these men had died long before, he was still their God. Why? They were with him. Verse 27. He is not, I repeat, not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. In other words, he was answering their question, knowing in their religion they did not believe in resurrection. They were playing games. Okay. He, reading their minds, knew. Definitely, to be absent from this body is present with the Lord instantly. Not 10 months later, not even 10 hours, but instantly, when you are biologically deceased, the soul is with the Father. Okay? And he is the God of the living. As he would say in Matthew, hey, don't fear those who can destroy this flesh body, but fear rather he that can cause your soul, spiritual body, to perish. Okay? He is the God of the living. But do you know something? Satan's still alive. I don't understand Christians that want to teach that Christians are dead when Satan's still alive. And he's already sentenced to death. The only one sentenced to death. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 18 and 19. So we see here then, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceived that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Now, beloved, before we go into this commandment, what do 90% of God's promises hinge on what? If you follow His commandments. If you don't, sorry, Charlie. That's why I say this is the basis and the sense of Christianity. This is what gets your prayers answered. This is what pleases your Father. This is the first and greatest of all commandments. Listen to it closely. 29. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Don't try to make Him anything else. You offend Him greatly in doing that. Verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God. What is the first thing He demands? You shall love thy God, the Lord thy God with all thy heart. How much of it? What is your heart? It's your intellect. Lib in the Hebrew tongue. Intellect. Your thought process. And with all thy soul. That means your eternal soul. Not the soul of this flesh, which your soul is, but by that I mean not the flesh body. But you're even to let the inner man love him with all your being. This kind of erases any room for doubt. If you're a doubter in that fact that there is one Lord and He is your Father, you're in trouble, friend. Coming out the gate, you've got big problems. God doesn't like doubt when He has done so many things that are historically recorded to document who He is. And with all thy mind, again, two times, strictly emphasis for intellect, thought process, and with all thy strength, this is the first commandment. Now, not many people think of utilizing their strength as being love. What is this word, strength? The word in the Greek is ischus, and it means forcefulness. And it comes from the prime in the Greek tongue of echo, kind of like our English word, it echoes, okay? But it means to be able to grasp or to overcome, to be a doer, can-do type person. That's what it means. With all your strength and forcefulness. Why? We're at war. You don't become a Christian without knowing that the battle is between Christ and Satan and you're going to be some pretty thing set off over here in a corner. It just doesn't fly that way. The forcefulness, the strength, must come along with it, or you're missing the boat. I'm sorry. Does that mean dedication? No, it means you're willing to make a stand. All right? Now, I think this is really important in this generation because it's getting to where in certain circles, if you say, I'm a Christian, you'll hear giggles. Okay? Like that's somebody that's looked down on when it's the greatest people in the world. And don't you ever let anybody get your goat over that. You stand your ground, and you have a right to. You're a child of the living God. We don't take a back seat to anyone. We deal forcefully with those that would come against us. And there's a reason for that. Well, and right away, the little flesh body thinks, whoa, I'm kind of a coward. I don't know if I want to really, step up to that batting box or not. Well, let me and the Father alleviate all that anxiety from you by understanding strength with all your strength, with all your force, in just a little different light, okay? And let's go on down if we made it let's take another verse or two with this if we may here, okay? Verse 32. I'm sorry, we missed 31, didn't we? Therefore, we know with all your strength, this is the first commandment. Hey, there's a lot hinges on that. Don't forget any of those qualifiers. They're necessary. Verse 31. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Now, there are other commandments, but there's none greater than these. They're the most important, the most pleasing to God. Now, as long as you're, you know, sometimes you got people that just aren't neighbors, though. If it's possible, get along with your neighbor. Don't let your neighbor run over you, though, or take advantage of you. I always like to go better than 50%. You know, and like if you'll even go like up sometimes as much as 70% and he still wants to be that way, it makes me feel better when I have to thump his gourd. Okay? I know I've done more than my part. Okay? If you love your neighbor, you're supposed to correct him if he gets too far out of line, right? You know, sometimes you just have to. And thumping with words of Christianity are about the best whipping post there is, all right? Sometimes. Verse 32. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. 33. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. There's a lot said there because that's what God wants from you is your love and not burnt offerings any longer. Christ became that offering for one and all times. And anytime you fall into a group that still wants to go back to some of those things, you're asking for big trouble of following the old traditions that led up by that. I'm talking about blood ordinances and things that were nailed to the cross. Then 34 to complete, and when Jesus saw that, he answered discreetly. He said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God, and no man after this durst ask him any question. Just coming awful close to being there. In other words, you fulfill those things, and that is the basis. But how do you do it? How can you guarantee that you have the strength, the courage, and even the zeal to step up to that bat? Well, let's go over to the great book of Ephesians for a moment. Ephesians chapter 6. You're all very familiar with the gospel armor. But there are some verses that I want to grasp before we get into that. Excuse me. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Listen carefully. Finally, my brethren, and I want you to think deep with me here. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. This word strong is it's enduring, and it comes from enduno, and it comes from dumas. All right? So it's telling you on your own to be strong. I want to be to. It's to empower. So, and I want you to grasp the Greek word there, to empower, means you're getting your empowerment from somewhere else. That is implied, okay? Empowerment. Where do you get your empowerment? Be strong and draw your empowerment in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, the word power, as it is used here, is important. It is the Greek word kratos. It's, and it means vigor. God is vigorous in His power, therefore He can empower you. And in the power of His might What is this word might? It's the word we started with, inkus, which the prime is echo, which certainly means to be forceful. So let's kind of take that over and read it. Let's upgrade it a little bit in the English, if we may. Finally, my brethren, be empowered in the Almighty God. Draw your power from Him. And in the vigor of His forcefulness. You want to know where to draw your vigor from? From God. Why? Well, then He explains. And don't forget, don't ever let it slip from your mind that the war is between God and Satan. And whose side are you on? You've got to be willing to take part, at least that a Christian should, to stand against that is negative. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the whole point. Now, is this your armor? Is that what it said? No, it didn't say that at all. It said you're to put on the armor of God, which is what? His vigor, His strength, and His power. You draw from it. You are empowered by it, and don't you ever forget it. Because it's His armor. Verse 12. For we wrestle. This is why you're going to need it. You're not, your little earthly stuff won't get it done. This is the reason. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. And certainly Satan is able to exercise powers in his own. Don't think he isn't. Against the rulers of darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places, heavenly places even. That's why you need to empower yourself by the Word of God, by the power of God, and by the vigor of God. Do you think God fears Satan? Boy, I'd hate to be in your shoes if you do. He certainly does not. He created him, and He can snuff him out at any moment He wants to. No problem, no step at all. Furthermore, He has even given you power over Satan. He has empowered you to take care of that gets in the way. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole, not part of it, you're going to need it all, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, when's the evil day? Woe, it's one of the three woes. You'll read of it in Revelation chapter 12. Woe, woe to those on earth, for Satan is cast down upon you. You're going to have to battle a little while. But rejoice in the heavens, for he's out of here and down there. That's the evil day for you. And you better be thinking about it. It's going to happen. But you don't have to worry about it. With power, you can look forward to it. Be ready. Can do. Type people. That's what this message is about. Strength and power, can do, bring it on. Alright? Let's get with it. That's the, what, with these things on and in place, that's your attitude and it should be. You're going to stand, not fly away. We're going to stand and we're going to win that battle. Why? It's written, we've already got it made. They are nothing compared to our Father. With all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your force and energy, you can believe that. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now that's most important. You know what the girt is? That holds your breeches up. Without the truth, you're going to lose them. That's just putting it real plain. You're going to be embarrassed. You've got to have the truth. What is the truth? It's God's Word. Be armed with it. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, wear it well. None of us is perfect. What polishes it and shines it and makes it very effective? Repentance. verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's you be ready to march wherever God takes you. Wherever your little feet, where He moves you, you have that armor on and be ready to motate. Alright, that means go. Alright, and do it with vigor. Alright, ready. Verse 6, don't get out in front of Him though. Or your little feet might get the hot foot real quick, okay? Do it God's way. That's His faith. To love and have faith in Him keeps you in check, or it should. You're going to get people that are mentally disturbed that are going to get way ahead of the plan at times. And try to say it's spiritualism. Be careful. Very careful. Stay focused. Anything that seems complicated about God's Word is being not looked at properly, for Christ always taught in the simplicity of this word whereby children can understand. Verse 16, above all, most important, above all, taking the shield of faith, and wherewith ye shall be able to quench all. How many of them? Hey, you better have this, friend. This will stop all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, and what is faith? That's the faith in Christ. Fine, you're drawing your power from Him. You've got to have Him out in front of you, between you and Satan. All right? It's just like you'll see a little old child. If a child senses danger or something that child is not familiar with, and it stands with its mother, where does it go? Gets behind, okay? You've seen little kids grab mama's skirt and peek out or hide their face, you know what I mean? Well, believe me, it's nature, it's natural. And there's nothing about God's Word that isn't natural. Why? He created us in His image. He's like, in that sense, the emotions of love and caring and reverence. But the thing is, have faith in Him to know when He's in front of you. That means you are doing it His way, because you have the truth around your girt. You're armed with it. It will stop anything, all, everything that comes against you. Now, if something gets through, it means God knows you can handle it. Nip it in the bud. He knows you're a can-do type person. Why? He empowered you. You should be able to take care of evil spirits. Bang! Just like that. Out! In the name of Jesus. You don't have to be afraid of anything. That's why the strength and the power of Almighty God is a divine power. It's not something Satan or his demons want to mess with. That's why they won't mess with a real person of God. They high-foot it. They run. Because they know what will happen to them. They haven't got a chance, thank God. Why? Because of His power that He empowers us with, making us able, can-do type Christians. The basis of Christianity is to be empowered by Almighty God and to be equipped with that He has supplied for you, that is there for the taking and the understanding and the love with all the force you can put into it, knowing that it is sound and that it is solid. One more verse, one of the most important, 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's what you do your fighting with. I'm going to tell you what. A person that is really equipped with the Word of God can take that sword of the Word and just slice somebody to pieces that would be a would-be so-called teacher or prophet of God. It's wicked when that real sword starts. So it's two-edged. It doesn't even have to turn it over. It cuts both ways. Revelation chapter 1, verse 16 documents that. But there you have it. It's important that of all the commandments, that you are to love Him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and with all your energy, to say, force, discourse, or heiko, to do it forcefully. Why? Because you draw the power to be forceful from Him. Do you understand that? You don't have it, okay? You don't have it until you tap into His power. He promises it. That's why as we began in this sixth chapter, I want to go back. I want to read that line to you where he would say in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." That's the only way you're going to be strong, not by yourself. "And in the power of His might," not yours, dunamis, His power, His force, He gives it to you. He protects you with it. He is your shepherd. And He says, "Don't dare touch mine anointed." He told Satan that, and his boys, when he cast them down on heaven in that evil day that you placed this armor on for, always have it on, but what I mean, the highlight, the high point, the basis of Christianity, to stand against Satan, to love our neighbors, but first to fight Satan. When he is cast to this earth as an example to unbelievers in the world, that the Holy Spirit speaks through you, man, that is that sword of the Lord working overtime. If you think the sword of the Lord was strong with Gideon, wait until God the elect began to swing it at that time. It is written in Luke 21 that even the gainsayers will be impressed by what you say, because it isn't you that speak, but the Holy Spirit speaking through you. Luke 21. So, prepare yourself and be empowered. I like that word because it says to be empowered means we have to receive it from an outside source. And I think that gets people, "Boy, I'm a tough bully." Yep. Satan will thump your gourd before you can even turn two times. He'll know your weakness. He does. He'll know every weakness you've got. And I guarantee you, he'll go for one of them. The one that you really are the weakest in. And guess what? You can probably be had. Because I don't know anybody that's perfect. But you got to have him. Number one, why? Because if you should slide, in him you can repent and you're right back there at the beginning. All right? You're forgiven. That's important. That was part of his duty in the fact that he came here, he died, and he was resurrected. That he took on your sins, your shortcomings, so that when you say, "I'm sorry," then he forgives you when you mean it. Why? Well, he loves you. You're his child. Do you know why he created somebody like you? There's not another one. There's no one else like you are. Everybody else has got different DNA, different fingerprints. I guarantee you they're different. They're sure different than you are. But isn't that wonderful? But anyway, God wanted someone just like you. Why? He loves you. God, you know it's written in Revelation, the last verse of the fourth chapter, that God created you, that is to say, everything for His pleasure, so you can count on Him. He counts on you. It is His will that all come to repentance. Will they? No way. But at least it's there for the taking, for those that will. Okay, why do we have this power and why do we have this authority? Let's go to a place where maybe Christ put it to work, whereby we could maybe better. Let's go to Matthew, the 12th chapter. Book of Matthew, 12th chapter. Let's, you know, when you have something, until you see, in the military, they issue you weapons and everything, but until you're experienced in how to use it, it doesn't do you much good, okay? In other words, you're not proficient in it. So Christ is going to show you how to use some of this and an example of what can happen to you. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. First thing he's going to do here is throw out a demon, all right? What does that prove? Just You got to have strength over something to throw it out, right? You go down here, and you go down here to the University of Arkansas, and they got that wild boar caged up in that pen, and you decide you're going to go in there and throw it out. You got to be tougher than that wild boar, or you better not get in there. Okay? He will gore thee big time. He will chew you up and spit thee out. Right? After he gets what he wants. So my point being very simple. If you're going to whip something or take advantage of something, you better be better than it is, or you're going to get thumped big time. Well, here we got Christ, we got a guy, and we got a demon. Who's the biggest? Who do you guess? Well, let's find out. 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. That means, the Greek word means with understanding. Hey, Satan had him. Verse 23, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Why? He was proving he was Messiah. He had power over the devil. Right? First thing I want you to know, this is a very unusual thing. Why? They were amazed. Didn't just happen every day there. What is my point? Their local preachers couldn't cut it. Okay? The boys down on the corner couldn't do it. That's why they were amazed that this one came along and got the job done. Okay? That's important. Verse 24. And when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. He does it in Satan's name. Beelzebub means the Lord of the flies or the Lord of the dunghill or whatever language you wish to translate it from. It's calling him a servant of Satan himself. That's what it's doing. He's using that power. And don't forget, power is our subject here. Whose power? Hopefully what you're plugged into. Make sure you don't get plugged into the wrong socket, friend. It's going to happen. A lot of people are going to plug into a wrong source. Verse 25, and Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. And he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. That's why, whether it be your family, community, city, or so forth, you want to at least have certain ordinances or understandings in your family that you're not totally divided. It's all right to be independent, but don't be divided. Verse 26, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? It won't. Okay? Verse 27, and if I, being Christ, if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. Let that answer your question. Well, they just had one big problem. You got to know what Jesus did here. You got to be stronger than the man at the head of the house before you can cast them out. What did Jesus know? He knew their sons couldn't do it. They couldn't cast out anything other than maybe truth or try to. They couldn't cut it. So how could you answer that? If you had some little old kid over here that was a wimp and couldn't do nothing, and someone asked you, how does he plow the back 40 when he won't even get out from under the shade of a tree? I hope you don't have a kid like that. But what are you going to say? Well, you're just not going to answer, most likely, or something. You're going to say, oh, well, everybody's got to have one, I guess. Or something to that effect. You know, you're going to excuse him. Well, they didn't have any excuse because their sons couldn't cast out anything. Okay? Verse 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. Now, number one, learn how to do it. If you're ever going to try to cast out a demon, you better know, or you're going to get gored. I guarantee you. You'll think that wild boar down there University of Arkansas was tame pickings compared to some demons. Okay? You better know. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. That's the only way they can be cast out. You understand? By the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. 29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong... Do you know what this word strong is? It's iskos. It's the word that you're supposed to have in your love for God. Right? Forcefulness, in other words. How can a man enter into a forceful man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house? In other words, you've got to be tougher than he is. You've got to be stronger than he is. Now, it comes right down to how's your faith, friend? Who's the strongest? Your Christ or Satan? Then, let me ask it a different way. Who is the stronger, you or some one of Satan's demonics? Okay? Well, I hope you know that our Christ is much stronger, and in the Holy Spirit, we can bind the whole bunch of them and throw the whole hick and caboodle right into the river, or order them back where they came from, is what you're supposed to do, which means certain death for them. And you know something? They don't like that. They grow afraid of you very rapidly. They don't want anything to do with you or your family because they know what will happen to them. Why? Because you exercise the Spirit of God, and that has the kingdom of God very near unto you. Because you understand the strength and the power and how to harness it. You know, you can have one of the best workhorses in the community, and you can have a set of the best harness there is, and you can have a plow. But if you don't know how to put that muscle in that harness and pull that plow, it's worthless to you. So you've got to know how to harness that strength and power, and you do it through that first commandment of all commandments in exactly that way. It's called love. And I know some people, that just rankles them a little bit when you speak of force and love at the same time. That's true love, beloved. It shows you care. It shows you that you care about your people and that you can do something about what Satan does to them. You can be a champion of your people by harnessing the strength and the force, and empower yourself in the power, the dunamis of Almighty God. Like a stick of dunamis, dynamite, they'll run from you. That's important. It's information. That's what separates can-do type people from people that don't know. They're not familiar with the truth. Okay, verse 30. He that is not with me is against me. That means you watch out for Antichrist. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. You get somebody that gets on one of these wild tangents, chasing squirrels and nuts out across the country, and gets away from the Word of God, you're scattering. You're scattering the mind of a person that it cannot solidify into the simplicity in which Christ teaches. And you miss the empowerment to be able to control your life. That's so important. That's true love, is to know and to understand and to keep your knowledge harnessed and pulling and working for you. Why? 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, go, shall not be forgiven unto men. Most of you know when that takes place. That's called the unforgivable sin. It happens when you're delivered up before the false Messiah, and the Holy Spirit wants to speak through you, as it is written in Mark 13. Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 10, gives a little better rendition, but we're sticking with this one because it ties in with the strong house. When they deliver you up and you're standing before the false Christ, Are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you? That's your power. That is your empowerment. Why? We've got Satan shackled. He's already sentenced to die. You don't have to be afraid of him when you are empowered. Verse 32, and whatsoever speaketh, and whosoever rather speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever, that means what? A Son of Man means what? Christ in the flesh. You can talk and speak about what he did on earth and so forth, and blah, 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 and on and on. In other words, churches get off on traditions of men and so forth that make void the Word of God. That's forgivable. But if somebody knows better and speaketh against the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. In other words, it is the unforgivable sin when you're delivered up before the synagogue of Satan. Luke chapter 12, verse 10 takes it to this point. And refuse the Holy Spirit to speak through you as one of God's elect, it's unforgivable. Do you know that only God's elect can commit that sin? Why did Christ bring it up here? Because he's just assured you that we have power over Satan. We got him by the... we got him bound tight, okay? He ain't going nowhere. Why would he be afraid? That's what he wants you to know. When you get a chance to stand up with the vigor of God, the might, go for him. Go for the killing blow, all right? He knows your weak points, know his. Go for it, all right? Do not premeditate what you'll say, okay? But be ready, all right? You don't have to worry. Then he simplifies it for those that can't put that together quite. Listen to it. I think it's beautiful. Verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Isn't it amazing how Christ in truth can say, you God's elect, now go back to the garden. Know the tree of life and the difference between it of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and what happened there. Let it sink in. And know it's the same old story from beginning to end. In other words, Christ's fruit was perfect. Naturally, he was the good tree. So make sure you're harnessed and empowered by him and not some fake. Okay? That's extremely important. So, we find here, and Christ would go on in 34 and say, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart the mouth speaketh. All right? He didn't exactly, he used force when it was necessary. He certainly did. And that force was effective. Why? Because he was Messiah. He was more than that. He was Emmanuel, which being fully interpreted means what? God with us. Why did all this happen? We can sum it up basically in Hebrews chapter 2. I know you're familiar with these scriptures, but in this light of being harnessed properly, I want to take you there. Great book of Hebrews. And we might say, why would Almighty God love you enough that though he brought you, you know why the seven, when they returned back, they didn't give or take a marriage, they were as the angels? Because that's the way they were before they came here. That's the way the souls, they were in spiritual bodies before they came here. Okay? But God's not going to ask you to do something he won't do himself. Let's go with verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 2 in conclusion. But we see Jesus. I want you to look at him. We see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Now understand, coming out the gate, Emmanuel was created to suffer death. Who for? You. All of us. Crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He wasn't ashamed to do that. That's why when you repent, he'll forgive your sins, and he doesn't want to hear about it again. Verse 10, for it became him for whom all are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain, that's the pioneer, of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now think about that. He that made all things, he sure made your soul. How's it doing? Think about it. But he didn't make your soul and send you down here in the flesh without giving you protection, which means salvation. Verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Back again, there's only one God. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not ashamed to call you his child. Christ wasn't ashamed to call you brethren. Why? You're with him, or you're against him, one or the other. Saying, verse 12, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Christ quoted that very verse on the cross. You can read it in Psalms 22:22, as he hung there nailed to that cross, documenting that this is what was transpiring at that time, as he was dying on that cross in the flesh only. 13. And again, I will put my trust in him, and again, yet again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. 14. Sharpen up. This is why we came here. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might do what? You want to know why he died on the cross? That he might destroy him that had the power, that is to say, the kaitos, that means with vigor and greatness. Satan has a hold of death. He's the prince of it, the captain of it. He's the whole thing. He has the power of death, that is the devil. He came to destroy him. Listen to me. He brought his own death into being in the first earth age, and there wasn't any such thing as death. That's why he's the power of it. And he's trying to get a lot of company to go with him, because he's the prince of death now. Why? He's already sentenced to die. God said it. Do you believe it? Where did God say it? Ezekiel 28:18-19. He's sentenced to turn to ashes from within. Of course, Satan's real proud. He thinks he can beat it if he can get enough of you behind him. But he doesn't know that we're only empowered by our Father. But Christ came here. Emmanuel, God in the flesh, to die so that he can destroy Satan's soul. Because after all, Satan is his child also. God created Satan. Ezekiel 28 will document it. He created all things. It's a pretty tough thing to have to kill one of your own children. Final. Souls. And you can see your Father's love in that. But if you don't understand this, put it on a shelf and ignore it for a moment. If you can't understand that God in the flesh came and was murdered by the sons of Cain, the sons of Satan, who would yell, "Crucify him!" That Satan is guilty of that death on the cross. And he signed his own death warrant without sorrow when he did that. And in Christ dying on the cross, now Almighty God can march him into the lake of fire and never have a bad feeling about it, because he is the the one with vigor. He vigorously seeks to pull you into it. That's what that word power there, katos, means. And it comes from that prime echo. It can do. He can do it if you let him. Verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Don't be, beloved. You don't have to be. You're free. The truth sets you free. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. In other words, that family through which Christ would ultimately come. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. He didn't want to be made like some uppity up, but made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Hey, we don't want them hanging around. And that's why it hurts him when you bring them up again after you repent. Don't do it. It's not wise. It hurts him because it shows you doubt him. Like you're saying, I'll ask you to forgive me, and I guess you didn't. He always does if you ask in earnest. Do you think it doesn't hurt his feelings for you to bring it up again? It shows you don't have faith. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. 18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That's a legal term that means guaranteed their safety, guaranteed their forgiveness, and so forth. Now, I don't want someone to think just because you don't forget that you haven't been forgiven. Forgetfulness would be a bad thing. You want to remember your sin, but don't remember it to him asking forgiveness. The only reason you remember it is so that you learn by experience not to do it again, okay? Just wanted to throw that in because I know how some people think. I'm through. That's it. Strength and power. And what are you strengthened by? And how do you handle demonics? Through the Spirit of Almighty God. He empowers you. And friend, let me tell you something. I guarantee you there are no giants in this world today that we cannot crush in his name. I guarantee you there is nothing that can stop the movement of truth across the world when it is done honestly and openly, empowered by God, not man, not man's traditions. Nothing can stop the Word of God. For we are approaching that time that delivery is going to be made on that evil day. Many of you are going to be living on that day. I hope you know what to do. The instructions are all in the book. You know, those set of instructions came with your body. I hope as you put your body together through life that you read the instructions so you don't have to disassemble many dozens of times before you complete the maturity of being empowered by Almighty God. Father, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this written word. Thank you, Father, for that power. Thank you, Father, for that strength, that forcefulness that sets Christianity aside, that is the basis of Christianity, Father. That is to say, Christ, men and women and children, those followers thereof, brethren, bless them all. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay. Free introductory package. Hey, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folks that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you.
one time to each new student, say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the mark of the beast.
The Book of St. John. What a fantastic book we have here in tape for you, for your convenience of studying as you drive or whatever the case might be, in the comforts of your own home. St. John, the writer of Revelation, as well as this great book of St. John. John taught in a way that he not only translated the word, and interpreted, fully translated the names as well as other things that made this word, this book, so easy to understand, helping the very reader see Christ in his work as God, Savior of the world. This book of John giving you the identity of the Kenites as well as those events that would transpire in the end generation. That's your generation, beloved.
The Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible is an invaluable tool to the serious Bible student. The Strong's Concordance lists every word used in the Bible and every passage where the word utilized may be found in the Scriptures. With the assistance of a reference numbering system, the English reader may easily translate any word back to the original Hebrew, Chaldean, or Greek, in which God's Word was written. The Companion Bible is a unique study Bible. In addition to the text of the King James Version Bible, an extra wide margin contains a wealth of information not found in other Bibles. A system of structures or outlines employed by the Companion Bible will allow the readers to rightly divide the Bible. The use of these structures help the reader follow the subject matter, and therefore they are critical to an understanding of God's Word. The 198 appendixes found in the Bible cover a wide variety of topics and information which will enlighten your studies. The Companion Bible and Strongest Concordance are a must for the serious Bible student.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
The Book of Deuteronomy. The law was given as our schoolmaster. Have you been to school on God's Word? Certainly one way to go there is...